Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Joining us now, Richard Franulovich from Beef Country, Australia. He is with Westpac Banking, Western Pacific, of course, based in New York. Can you tell the difference between a U.S. and Australian steak?
Definitely, yeah. In the U.S., most steaks, most beef are corn-fed.
Right.
In Australia, it's grass-fed.
Oh, okay.
So that affects the tenderness of the steak. But I think at the high-quality steakhouses, in the U.S., it's probably grass-fed anyway.
Well,
I assume anyway.
They're very high on grass-fed in places like Montana.
Yeah.
It is tasty, kind of chewy.
Yes.
If you're used to corn-fed.
But, yeah.
There's a stereotype, and I'd love to know from you, and I say this with great respect. We have the stereotype of a language of Australia talking about the Barbie.
Yes.
Do they really say the Barbie?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is the Barbie.
Absolutely, yes.
You put the steak on the Barbie.
We're very slack people, so wherever possible, we'll shorten every word, every sentence to the bare minimum number of words you have to say. So Barbie is quicker than barbecue.
Yeah, but I think Mario Draghi could have used that advice yesterday. He comes out, drops a bomb on the market.
Yeah.
But when you really look at the language, he did not say much, did he?
I agree with you completely. So there were three strong words he used about saving the euro. Don't underestimate me. But there were also another three key words he used, which was within our mandate. So the point being that, yeah, they are open to the possibility, I guess, of buying Spanish and Italian debt. But again, it's going to be half-hearted, piecemeal, and they will do it with a fair amount of resistance. Moreover, I do not think that will ultimately backstop the crisis. You need an unlimited guarantee from the ECB. It will buy some time, but it will not truly backstop the crisis.
Let's cut to the Monday morning chase. Was it one massive short cover of everybody going the wrong way and covering, or was there something more substantial here?
Well, my feeling is when it comes to market dynamics, any short covering bounce is always typically driven by a piece of news that is contrary to positioning. So it was a combination of a short squeeze and some genuinely significant piece of news. I actually believe something genuinely is afoot in Europe. When you look at the comments from Nowotny, Draghi, various newspaper articles, it looks like Spain is obviously on the precipice and something needs to be done on that front. So whether it's giving the ESM a banking license or the ECB resumes bond buying, something is afoot.
No.
But I would emphasize, I do not think this changes the story ultimately for Europe.
The Spanish unemployment rate is now 24.6%.
Yeah.
But more than that, Ken, I'm glad you bring this up, Richard, and it sets us up for Monday. I have been saying there's things we don't know. There's information we don't know about this unique Canadian-like federal government versus regional governments in Spain. More than any other country in Europe, there's a lack of transparency there, isn't there?
Oh absolutely. In fact, it's estimated that Spanish government debt at all levels, up to a third, if not a little bit more, would be at strata's levels below the federal government. And as you're probably aware, in Spain, these regional governments have a fair amount of autonomy. They can't be brought into line too easily.
Let me interrupt here. Facebook plunges $22.57 right now. It's a spike down since David Wilson briefed us on that.
Richard, are you looking for some kind of weekend surprise here? From
the European authorities?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
It's summer holidays in Europe and in the US, and so authorities are all
nothing's
off
gonna stop that, right?
Beach cottages. I would say, though, that even if there is something positive from the ECB or around the ESM, which makes for a somewhat more benign turn of events in the next few weeks, at the end of the day, let's not forget the big picture. Europe is looking at near permanent recessionary conditions for her economy for many years to come. Even if the ESM is given a banking license, we're still talking about deleveraging by the banks. We're still talking about austerity, tight financial conditions, and a very big confidence shock.
How do you invest given that statement, particularly the duration of it, the theta of it, the time function of it? How do you do business?
Well, you basically shun Eurozone assets across the board for a extended period. We've already seen dramatic underperformance of peripheral Eurozone bonds, Eurozone stocks across the board, and the US looks like a relatively better story. I believe that has many years to play out still. I would add, too, that those safe havens, such as German bonds, are not what they appear to be. If we get an ugly outcome in Europe, which is to say Greek default, even Spanish defaults, then you do not want to be in a safe haven like Germany, given the collateral fallout that would hit Germany. If there is, however, a more benign outcome and Germany says, ooh, we've now got religion and we're prepared to backstop the rest of the region by more than is the case now, then that would mean Germany's liabilities have increased significantly as well. So either way, whether it's a happy or a benign outcome, even safe havens like Bunds are a risky bet. So I would be shunning Eurozone securities, fixed income, stocks across the board.
Not only because there's like zero return, right?
Apart from
negative
that reason.
Return, if you,
yeah.
Yeah, Richard, the European countries have the example of Germany right there. You know, I mean, they made some sacrifices a few years ago, and you know, now they're the strongest economy in Europe.
Yep.
It hasn't sunk in? You look at country, I brought this up before, you look at country by country by country in Europe, and it really gets down to a rigid labor market.
Yep.
And all sorts of rules. I saw an op-ed recently where in Italy, if you have a business that you're trying to grow, your 17th employee must be disabled.
Yep. Yeah. It's almost like having to re-engineer a society, right? To boost the work ethic through all sorts of reforms to the labor market, make it easier to fire people. But Germany's been a template for the rest of Europe for decades now. And what progress have we seen in terms of other countries trying to emulate that model? Very little. This is a generational shift that will take a long time to play out.
I want to come back. We're almost to August. It's Algebra August here at Bloomberg Surveillance. And to look at the algebra of the Swiss National Bank, they have pegged, they have fixed their currency. When can that game end? Just quickly here.
Right. That game has a number of moments where it will be stressed and could potentially come to an end. A Greek exit from the euro, as still seems fairly likely on a 12-month horizon, that would heavily stress the euro-Swiss peg.
Richard, I would say front and center is the best economy in the world, Switzerland, maybe Norway as well, forcing to peg their currency because everybody around them has been so irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's worked for 6 months or whatever. What does it cost? What's the price to Switzerland to so-called peg their currency?
Right, well, the biggest price to pay is the fact that their balance sheet has ballooned aggressively, and if you believe in a certain worldview, that's an inflationary policy. But that's okay on their front, because such has been the strength of the Swiss franc. It's massively overshot any estimate of fair value, that if anything, it's the S&P's actions are countering a deflationary force hitting the economy. At the bottom line is, as you know, central banks, at least those with a fair amount of credibility, have unlimited resources. So if truth be told is, I don't think there is a huge cost to pay in terms of that front. Their yields still remain exceptionally low. So I take a fairly benign view of the SNB's actions.
Well, you were saying before that even the perceived havens like German government securities aren't going to work if things get worse. So if you want to put your money in America, where do you put it?
Well, I guess if you're from an equities, the bottom line is I expect on a relative basis, U.S. stocks will outperform Eurozone stocks. U.S. yields, as low as they are still nonetheless a little bit more tempting than what's on offer, at least in core Europe. So the bottom line is I would expect U.S. assets across the board to be outperforming those in Europe. So you can, I wouldn't say necessarily can put your blinkers on and close your eyes, but you'd be comfortable overweighting U.S. assets across the board relative to Europe.
Okay, relative to Europe, but then there's ascendant emerging markets, ascendant Asia, dramatically superior economic growth to the developed world from a, I need to make money in foreign exchange away from euro dollar. Is there a more intelligent pair?
Right. First of all, there will be U.S. companies, the U.S. economy as a whole does benefit from the rise of Asia as well. That point needs to be noted. Secondly, I would say that growth expectations, the long-run growth potential of China is such, her productivity is such that her currency will appreciate across the board in the years to come. And that's true of all of Asia. They run current account surpluses versus deficits here. But nonetheless, these stories play out over many, many years, and there will be many periods in the interim where the US dollar can see a lot of strength across the board. I believe there is some tantalizing evidence to suggest that maybe the US dollar is looking at a multi-year broad-based bounce, including across versus the Asian currencies. If suddenly China is growing at 7 to 8% for several years instead of 10, I think there's a bit of price to pay there. There's a lot of expectation that still need to come down.
Ken, if I may, and I think to both of you, this is an historical perspective that's profound. IBM, $1 billion, a 10-year paper. They blow through 3M's 2% history to 1.875%, 1.875% for 10 years. Richard, what does corporate finance say about where this global economy is going?
Right, well, the substantial cash hoardings of U.S. corporates is one sign of health, and that's why from a credit perspective, U.S. corporates are actually somewhat in a healthier balance sheet position, obviously, than, say, the U.S. government.
Than, say, Germany.
Yeah. But I would say, though, that those exceptionally high cash holdings are also a reflection of risk aversion and a lack of investment opportunities.
Right. Oh, let's leave it there. Richard Franulovich, thank you. Very valuable, particularly on the differentials between Australian and U.S. stake.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.